It's a privilege to speak on this subject because it is so critically important to modern practice. And so isn't it interesting that we really generally receive no formal training on statutory interpretation in law school? We study cases and we study common law decision making, but unless you've taken a course on tax or administrative law, you could enter this profession without ever having really been exposed to some of the ideas we're going to talk about today. And yet it's become such a critical part and a major part of modern judging. And I'd actually also seen an interview with Chief Justice Hecht where he was describing how in the last 25 years, the nature of their docket has changed so much that they used to decide a lot of common law cases and were deciding what should the law be, and now they're just looking at words from another branch of government and trying to ascertain what did this other branch intend when they chose these words. So today I'd like to cover three high points, the three categorical approaches to statutory interpretation, explain what the legislature says about statutory interpretation, what the courts are actually doing, and then really focus in on the Texas Supreme Court to better understand that court's methodology. The overarching question I asked is, how does one branch of government ascertain the intent of another branch? And more specifically, what exactly may courts consider when they're trying to interpret a statute? And the answer to this question depends on who you ask. And first, we need a framework, so I've divided this into three camps. Textualists are the most restrained. They begin and often end their analysis with the text of the statute, and they do not generally search out the legislature's intent or meaning in extrinsic aids or legislative history unless they're forced to do so after finding the statute ambiguous.